Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Grace View, a discussion forum of life-enriching topics that pertain to family, men, philosophical perspectives, women, and singles. The Grace View is a production of John Davis Marshall and the Solomon Society. The Grace View may be heard live Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-989-0722, or it can be heard at any time online at www.blogtalkradio.com, The Grace View. Now stay tuned for today's episode of Wondrous Women. If you have a question or comment, please dial the number one on your phone and we will give you the opportunity to speak.
Good evening. Welcome to The Grace View. Tonight, our episode will be talking about prayer. This is your host, Aretha Cleveland, and I'm thanking everyone who has signed in with us tonight, taking time out of your busy schedule to dialogue with me about prayer. The questions that I put out on social media and to the different people that I sent the information to is, do you pray out of necessity? Do you pray expecting God to answer your prayers according to your will? Do you forget from one storm to another that God brought you through? Are you fearful or are you faithful? If you answer yes to any of those questions, tonight's session is definitely for you. So we're going to start off with talking about prayer. I'm going to ask the question, and of course I can't hear your answer, but have you ever asked anyone to pray for you? Have you ever asked anyone to pray for your children or any situation that you may have been going through? Have you ever thought that God didn't answer your prayer? Did you do your part before asking for prayer? So I want us to dialogue tonight. I don't want it to be a one-sided conversation. I want it to be a conversation that we women of excellence have together tonight, that you will press the number one on your telephone, and that you will dialogue with me so that someone who is on the call with us tonight will be touched by our answers, and then they will be able to see prayer in a different light. So, again, I'm going to ask a question, and if you are willing to dialogue, please dial the number one on your telephone at this time, and when I call the last four digits of your telephone number, you will answer that question. So I want to start off tonight by asking, is it anyone on the call tonight who have ever asked anyone to for you, your situation, or to pray for your children, your family members? If so, and you don't mind sharing, dial the number one on your telephone. While we're waiting on the listening audience or someone in the audience to be brave enough to dial the number one on their line, I'm going to share. I asked this morning on the Grace Nurture Program for prayer. I asked that the callers on the call would pray for me and with me for the fundraisers that Winning the Battles is doing for children battling sickle cell disease. I don't see the participation. I don't see the people coming together to support this disease that is claiming the lives of our children, our parents who are in and out of the hospital with the children, going through pain crises and going through procedures and tests and surgery. So, yes, this morning I asked for prayer. So if there's anybody else on the line who's asked for prayer today, if you would dial the number one on your phone at this time and just share with us what you have asked for prayer. 1-340. Let us know what you asked for in prayer.
My prayer request had been and still is because of a failed surgery that I get relief from the numbness that starts at my neck and goes down my right arm into my fingertips. 4 years ago, I had surgery. 3 years prior to that, I had this pain and numbness that I did not know where it was coming from or why I was having it. And those 7 years ago, when I initially asked for prayer, I wasn't where I am now in my spiritual life. And I actually got to a point where I said, you know, God, I can't take it anymore. You can just take me now. But that was not his solution. So that going to one of your questions, do you pray asking, you know, according to your own will? Back then, yes, it was according to my will, what I wanted, because I couldn't stand the pain. But I know that now, because that prayer was not answered, I'm still here, that was not God's will. But today, I'm having the same symptoms, and I could probably say it's worse than it was prior to surgery. So my prayer is still that I get relief, and I know you've heard me say that I don't want surgery on one of the prayer calls, but it's God's will, not mine. You know, surgery may be what I need. So whatever God says, that's going to be the answer.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Sister Walker. Again, I'm asking, if you have, what the cause is about tonight is we are talking about prayer. And so many times, just to give you a brief synopsis of where I'm trying to take this, because I want us to be mindful of our vocabulary. I want us to be mindful of our talk when we're talking to one another or when we're out and about talking to other people. I hear so many people say, I prayed about this or I asked for prayers, and wow, I was so surprised when God answered my prayer. Well, why would you be surprised unless you didn't believe he would answer it in the beginning? Why would you even request prayer if you don't believe that God is going to answer? So that's where I'm actually going with this. And then sometimes I know I have prayed to God, and I've already got it mapped out. Okay, now I'm going to pray about this, and this is how I want him to do it. But when it don't happen in that way, sometimes we'll be like, well, I prayed, but I hadn't heard from God yet. Well, we heard from him, but it wasn't the way we wanted him to do it. It was his will, not our will. So those are the questions that I'm throwing out there tonight. 5712, state your question or your comment or share with us what you've asked for prayer for.
Okay, yes, I had asked for God, I had asked for prayer for to pray with me and for me on my daughter a year ago. She was out there on drugs, and this year she actually is in a, she's getting help. But when I was asking for prayer, I was wanting it, you know, right then, but it took a year later, but she actually went and got help on her own. And I'd just like to share that.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. And look at there. You prayed last year, and look what happened this year. Sometimes we get a little bit impatient because we're like, God is not answering our prayer. What is going on here? I asked him this last year, and he haven't answered our prayer. So, again, it sounds like you're a very good spirit that even though you asked last year, you're seeing some results this year. So, again, that is another great example. 5397, share your information with us about prayer and asking for prayer.
I always ask for prayer for strength, and that I just continue to stand firm because it is true that there is a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. And I have been getting tested lately, and it has caused me to, you know, to get emotional and stuff. Sometimes I feel like giving up, but I don't give up. So I always ask for prayer, you know, that I continue to stand firm on the word of God, because it really is hard. It's hard being a Christian sometimes, but I don't give in and I don't give up. So I just wanted to share that I always ask for prayer to stand firm on the word of God and for strength.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. And again, we have another person who is asking for prayer, and I keep asking, the question is, have you ever asked for prayer? Did you ask for prayer for anything today? Do you believe that God will answer your prayer? Do you only pray out of necessity? Are you surprised when God answers your prayer? And if you are surprised, why would you be surprised? 8416, share your question with us or statement of prayer.
Hi. I just want to say that I started praying about 5, maybe 6 years ago, and my prayer was that I wanted my family to become members of the Lord's church. I have been a faithful member for, I say, maybe at least 30-something years of my life. And my husband and my children were. And so, you know, I would pray, and I prayed like 5 years ago. I was really sincere about my prayer, you know, praying to God. And he answered my prayer 5 years later. It wasn't exactly like how I wanted it, but it happened, you know. And I just thank God, you know, and I'll tell anybody, you know, to stand firm on praying for what you want. And trust me, God is going to answer your prayer. It might not be exactly like you want it, but he will answer your prayer.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, and that is a true statement. Just want to briefly share something when we're praying. I can remember praying and asking God when I went to the doctor, and they said that I had high blood pressure. And I was praying because I didn't want to take the medicine, and I wasn't taking the medicine, and for him to heal me of hypertension. And then every time I cooked something, I was sprinkling salt on it and seasoning salt on it, but I was still praying, and I was asking other people to pray with me that God would heal me from my hypertension. Then I remember one time praying when I was raising my children as a single parent, and I have four children, and the old cliche of I was robbing Peter to pay Paul, and I was asking God to increase me financially, so that I wouldn't have to struggle so hard. And I wasn't taking good care of my finances. I was praying out of necessity. I was going to worship service out of necessity, and I wasn't doing a good job of that. I was not budgeting my money correctly, because if I decided that I wanted to go to the movies or do something else, I would do that. But sometimes what we do is we're asking God for prayer. I can remember my lights being turned off. I can remember my car being repossessed one time. I can remember one of my children getting in trouble in school, but I still was only praying out of necessity. So when you're only praying out of necessity, should God answer your prayers? Should you ask for prayers for other people when you're not doing your part, like I was doing with the hypertension? I was including, put me on your church prayer list, and I was going to different prayer calls, but I was sprinkling salt and seasoning salt just like there was no tomorrow. So should we do our part when we ask for prayer? Should we only pay attention to God when we want him to answer our prayers? And then when everything is going right for a moment, should we forget about him? Should we not talk to him? Should we not go to worship service? What should we do? How should we do? And those were the things until I changed my heart. I was asking and give me, give me, give me, and I need, and I was going through so many things, but I was not willing to do my part in what I needed to do, as well as I was asking God for things that I wasn't willing to do myself, just put it all in a nutshell. So what are your thoughts on that as well? And again, do you pray out of necessity? Are you surprised when God answers your prayers? Do you pray expecting God to answer them, but according to how you want him to answer? Do you forget from one storm to another that God brought you through? Are you fearful or are you faithful? 0407, share your comment with us, please.
Hi, I was just saying, you took the words right out of my mouth. When you're praying, you should have a sincere heart and praying and asking God and believing what you're praying for. And also, faith without works is dead. So when you're praying, you need to work it and do what you're supposed to do, and the Lord will answer the prayers where he sees fit, and answer with pray to him with a sincere heart. I remember last year, I wanted to go to the family reunion, and I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know I don't have this, and I want it this way, and I want it that way. So, and then I said I wanted to take my grandbaby, and each way I prayed, the Lord answered the prayer the way I prayed it. And, not amazed, I was thankful and so happy that I was able to go to Florida, and then took my granddaughter with me, and we had a great time because that's where I prayed, and I prayed with a sincere heart and prayed the way I wanted to happen, and that's the way it happened. And I just thank the Lord for that. But I still pray, but
wow.
That sticks out of my head the most.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Hey, I have a question for one of the young ladies who are on the call with us tonight. She asks, why do she feel guilty about praying, for not praying when I know I should? And I feel like my prayers won't get answered because I feel like I have disappointed God. What would you say to her about that? Will somebody press the number one and answer her? She said, how do you pray when everything seems to be going wrong at once? She said, I don't even know how to begin because I know better. And then she said, what about if you're too angry to pray? How do you move past that? So let some of our ladies dial the number one on the line and answer those questions for her. Give her some insight on what she needs to do and how she needs to do on those questions. And if you need me to repeat them, just do so. But before, we had 7686 who had already dialed number one before I read those questions. So state your comment or either answer one of those questions as well.
Okay, good night. Well, I kind of understand where she is coming from because at one point in time, I used to pray with my kids and my kids used to pray. And then sometimes I used to, like, don't feel the need to want to pray because I kneel on my knees to pray. But then I would say to myself that I want my kids to go to heaven, so I have to, you know, put myself aside and do it because it's the right thing to do. I don't feel like doing it, but it's like the right thing to do, you know, because you want to be that right example. You know, and then, you know, just to keep doing that, although it's, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that we don't feel like doing, but we have to do it. So to motivate myself, I said, you know, I want my kids to go to heaven, so I want to do the better thing and see that they see me doing it, although, you know, sometimes I don't feel like doing it, but it's the right thing to do in that state of doing it.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. 8416, state your comment, please.
Well, okay, I just want to, you know, go back to where the young lady, you know, was asking the questions about, you know, they don't feel, you know, righteous enough to, you know, pray. And this is what I want to tell you.
We can't hear you. I'm not sure if your phone went out or what, but we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. What I wanted to say is, you know, and this is, you know, anybody that want to, you know, take heed to what I'm saying. What I've learned, and I've learned this over the years, you know, because, okay, I'm going to go back to some of my history. And what happened 3 years ago, my husband had 5 strokes. And with him having these 5 strokes, it paralyzed him on his left side. I have to take care of my husband daily. I have to do everything for him. And what I learned, and I learned this, you know, over these years of my husband's illness, because like I said, I thought I had it sewed together back, you know, before he got sick. But what I've learned is if you place prayer and studying God's word as an activity every single day, you won't have any doubts about anything that comes your way. You will not, you know, I mean, because I've learned God will answer your prayer. My prayer every day, and I thank him every day that I wake up, is that I have the ability and I have the strength to take care of my husband. And he gives it to me every single day. So that, you know, I just want to, you know, leave that with, you know, with some of those that have doubt about prayer. Don't ever think that you, you know, that you're not good enough to, you know, to pray. And you don't have to get on your knees every time, you know, to pray to the Lord. You can walk in the kitchen and be at the stove cooking or whatever, and, you know, and just say, Lord, and thank him. Always thank him, you know, whether it's good or bad. You thank him for the little things, you know, that appears in your life. And I'm telling you, God will bless you. I can remember I had always wanted to be, you know, where I could be active in the Lord, you know, in the Lord's church. And that's why I say this here sickness with my husband, the Lord, he has given me everything that I have prayed for. And, I mean, I'm so busy right now in the church. Some days, I you know, that's why I say, tell my kids, I say, sometimes you got to be careful of what you ask for because the Lord will give it to you, you know. And that's why I say I'm real busy. I'm into all kinds of different things. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and still taking care of my husband. And that, you know, so, you know, I just wanted to leave that with, you know, with everyone to just, you know, trust in the Lord and obey everything that he asks you to do. He will take care of you no matter how hard that road might seem. He'll take care of you. He definitely will.
Wow. Thank you so much. Okay, so we heard an answer, one of the answers from the questions that was presented to us. Let me ask you this also in a different way. And as she was saying, we have so many things to come your way that can hurt you, that can make you angry. So what if you're just so angry and you decide that I'm not going to even go to church? I'm not going to go to church. What am I going for? I've done so much in my life. And so many things are happening to me. I may be diagnosed with an illness. I may have lost someone very dear to me to death. I may have lost my home. I may have been in an accident and my car is tore up and I don't have any money to get it fixed. So what am I going to worship for? What am I praying for? I mean, so many things are happening. When I was praying, it was like one thing after the other was happening. So why should I continue to pray? Why should I even take the time to call on God? It looks like so many things are happening, and I'm not sure what is my reason for calling on him. So, again, I'm going to call on some of the callers, and if you will dialogue on this, I would greatly appreciate it. 0068, state your question or your comment, please.
Yes, I have a comment. As you're saying, when someone is mad and don't want to pray or don't go to church, it's a feeling, and a feeling will definitely pass. And as for praying and your prayers not being answered because you're going through a lot and things are going on, it's just like when it rains, it pours. But we have to remember that there's a rainbow at the end of the storm. So we have to have faith. We are all human, so we are all going to sin. No one is exempt. But yet, nevertheless, we have the privilege of prayer. So we have to pray for each other and be there for each other.
Thank you for sharing your answer with us tonight. 1340, state your comment, please.
You know, lots of times we feel because of the things that we're doing in our life, we're not worthy of prayer. Or if something bad happens, like you lose a loved one, you may be angry with God. And you don't want to pray. I had a friend that went through that. She was angry with God because her husband died. But as I explained to her, God makes no mistakes. And I've learned in my personal life that no matter what I'm going through, the more you pray, the more you talk to God, because that's all it is a conversation that you're having. You know, you're communing with God. So as you talk to God, you get that strength. And as you talk believing that he's going to answer, you get that faith. You have that faith, and you just grow stronger in it. I realize now, like I said, years ago, I wasn't where I am now spiritually. So you grow, and the more you pray, the more you grow. The more you study, the more you grow. So you just continue, stay in the Lord. It's like I've been to that point where I didn't want to go to worship, but I knew I watched so many people, family members and friends, that stopped going They wouldn't go to church. They wouldn't go to worship. They wouldn't go to Bible study. And I was doing things that I probably should not have been doing, going places I should not have been going. But I kept going to worship one Sunday morning because I knew once you stop going, it's that much harder to get back into it. Kept going. I sat on the back pew, but I went. And then I realized, you know, I'm like, why are you hanging out on Saturday night? Why, you know, and I wasn't having a good time. I was going to a club with some friends and family members, but I was not enjoying myself, but I just went. And I decided, I said, you know what? This is not for me. This is not what God's plan was for me. So I stopped doing that, and my seat progressively got closer to the front. But I never stopped worshiping because I knew a lot of people, they stop worshiping God. They stay at home. They make excuses on why they don't need to get up and go. You know, I'm not worthy. But if you don't if you don't put God first in your life, then that's why you start feeling that you're not worthy. You have to continue, keep God a part of your life. As long as God is a part of your life, it will be that much easier to increase your relationship with him. You know, God never leaves us. We leave him. So that's why it's so imperative is that we continue to pray. You know, as Sister Henry was saying, you don't always have to get down on your knees. I have a bad knee, and I don't always kneel when I pray, but I do find myself sometimes I feel like I need to get down on my knee, the good one. So I'll bow on one knee, and I say a prayer. I do it sometimes in service. I feel, you know, my heart says, you need to get on your knees. And I may kneel while I'm in service while everybody else is standing, you know. So I'll kneel because that is the most humblest way that we can give honor to God. So no matter what you're going through, no matter how you're feeling, just know that if you're right with God, if you are one of his children, he is listening and he will answer. His answer may be yes, his answer may be no, and his answer may be not. Right now, just like that sister said, she prayed for a year for her daughter to get her life right. It took a year. Sometimes it takes longer than that, but it happened. Sister Henley's family, her daughter was baptized, her husband was baptized. You know, we rejoiced in that. You pray. The scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. So continue to pray whatever the desire of your heart is. If you feel it has not been answered yet, continue to pray. Continue to ask God for it.
Thank you for sharing that answer. So what it sounds like I'm hearing is we're saying on this line that we should pray. Should we just only pray out of necessity, though? Should we only pray expecting God to answer our prayers the way we want them answered? And when he brings us through one storm, should we forget about that storm and not pray again until we're in the middle of another storm? Are we fearful? Are we faithful? And if we are fearful, why are we fearful? Have God not answered our prayers according to what we think he should have done? Why should we keep praying? We have so many bad things that are going on in our lives. Why should we keep calling on God? Why should we believe? Why should we continue to pray without ceasing? Is there something that we heard the sister say, she prayed for her daughter to get off drugs, and she prayed for her daughter to get off drugs on last year, and her daughter decided to get off of drugs this year and start getting some help. So during that entire year that she was praying and waiting, did she continue to pray? Should she have continued to pray? Or should she just pray one time and wait? Or should she pray one time and just get frustrated all the rest of the time, and then when she saw her daughter getting help, should she pray then? Should she thank God? What should we do? It is so easy when we're not going through things. And I can understand what the sister is saying. So many things are happening. So many things are going back to back. Or should we get ourselves to a point that as we're praying and going through these things, that our faith is strengthened? Because if we don't do something to strengthen our faith, it's going to be hard for us to pray. It's going to be hard when things happen and knock us down. And I say it all the time, and I'll say it until I take my last breath. Had I not been where I was spiritually with God when my son was killed, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know how I would have accepted it. I don't even know if I would have continued to want to pray to God. But because I had made up in my mind, no matter what I was going through in my life, my day was going to start with prayer. It was going to end with prayer. I was going to be involved in ministries, not based on pleasing man, but pleasing God, to the point where when I got that phone call, I did just what we're talking about tonight on the call. I started praying. So, again, prayer. Are you only praying out of necessity? Are you praying expecting God to answer the prayers according to your will? Do you forget from one storm to the other that God brought you through? Are you faithful or are you fearful? We would like for anyone else on the line who would like to share your comments with us, please dial the number 1 on the telephone at this time. And trust me, we have people on the line from all over the nation. So don't be surprised that a comment that you may not think is worth sharing, how it will touch the hearts and minds of someone else who may be going through something you've already gone through and who would like to hear what we have to say. So, again, I'm asking you to please dial the number 1 on your phone at this time. I won't call your name if I know you. I won't call your entire number. I will call just the last 4 digits of your phone number and let you state your comment. So while we're waiting for someone else to dial the number 1 on the line, let's talk about some of the scriptures where they're talking about prayer. There's several scriptures out there talking about prayer. We have a scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:4, where you give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God. So when we're doing that, I know when I pray, once I finish praying, if I'm asking for something, I go ahead and thank God in advance because I have no doubt that he's going to answer. I have no doubt that he's going to let his will be done. And then what I do is I ask him to give me the strength to accept his will. 5944, state your comment, please.
Yes, I've been going through some stuff today where when I said Sunday, this coming Sunday, I was not going to go to church because the devil has been working hard. My lights are supposed to be cut up, then getting cut off tomorrow, but luckily I have got a blessing, thank God. But I had on my mind that I didn't want to go to church Sunday, and the church family, we supposed to be going to Carowind sometime. I said I didn't want to go there because I was just focused on, I prayed to God, I've been praying to God for this whole week about my light situation because I had on the 21st when it was supposed to have been paid, so I made an arrangement and it said it was supposed to be paid on the 28th, which is today. I didn't come up with all the money, so I was like, well, since I can't get a prayer through to God, I'm not even going to church, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, but now I have a change of heart. Because it's not my time, it's God's time. And whenever it's right for him, he will do it.
Wow. Powerful testimony. Thank you so much for sharing that. And again, we can look at her situation, but that's what a lot of times we do. We go through a situation, and the first thing we do is we pull away from God. We pull away from prayer. We pull away from anybody who may want to encourage us. We refuse to get up and go to service. We become depressed, frustrated, and overwhelmed because we feel that we've done so much that God is not listening to us. He is not answering our prayers. We have prayed. We have asked for things to be fixed. And when we don't see that happening, we say, you know what, what's the use? It's not happening for me anyway, so why should I continue to pray? So again, anybody who is on the line who would like to share a comment about what we're talking about tonight, please dial the number 1 on your telephone at this time. And when I call the last 4 digits of your telephone number, you can state your, if you have a question, you can state your question. If you have a comment, you can state your comment. 1340, you're on the air.
You know, sister, you took my words right out of my mouth talking about prayer Thanksgiving. You know, lots of times when not going through something, we can just pray thanking God for getting us through, you know, or just being there. And thank you for the small things.
before you unmuted me the last time, for some unknown reason, there was a car across the street from my house and driveway with the music blasting. And I was saying, Lord, now you know. I looked out the window and I saw some young men out there smoking. And I'm like, why are they even out there across from my house? It's a vacant lot across from my house. And I'm like, I hope they're gone before Sister Aretha unmutes me to speak. And lo and behold, y'all didn't hear no bebopping music in the background because they left. You know, and that's just something small. And once they left, I said, thank you, Lord. I prayed again because I'm like, that it was something small as a car with their music blasting. But I thank God for that small blessing because it's disturbing. It was disturbing to me, and I was like, do I need to go out there and ask them to, you know, can they turn the music down or go on about their business or what have you? But I didn't have to. God fixed it, and he sent them on their way. And I thank him for it. And it's just those small things. You know, I asked for prayer on the prayer call earlier about the children being out of school for the summer to keep them safe. And that's one thing that came to my mind when I saw those young men out there, because my grandson and some of his friends out there playing basketball also. And I'm like, are those guys up to no good? But you know what? I said, I put that in God's hands. So I know those kids are going to be okay because I prayed about it, and I'm leaving it in God's hands. It's okay. So just thank him.
All right, then. Let me ask the listening audience this, especially since I'm working on children with sickle cell at this time. What happens when your child, your grandchild, your niece, your nephew, has been diagnosed with a life-threatening illness? They've been, everything has been perfect, and they've been going to school and doing fine, and then all of a sudden they start having symptoms, and they go to the doctor, and you're told that they have sickle cell disease. They were born, and a week after they was born, you were told they have sickle cell disease. You had no clue that you had the trait. You have no clue what sickle cell disease is. Should you pray? You're in and out of the hospital every month with your child. Your child is having a procedure. Your child is going through this. You're seeing other parents going through this. You see that there's not a lot of attention given to this particular disease that your child has. Should you give up? Should you just say, you know what? What happens is going to happen? Or should you continue to talk to God? Should you continue to share with him your feelings about what you're going through? Should you include your child in that prayer? What should you do from that point? 5762, state your question or your comment, please.
Yes, I wanted to comment earlier on some previous callers. We need to remember that God's timetable is not our timetable. We think things should happen tomorrow. God thinks differently than we do. God's timetable may say, well, I think this may happen tomorrow. His timetable may say, this won't happen until 5 years from now. And we have to have patience. And that's one thing we need to try and develop when we're working with God. God is a patient, long-suffering God, and we need to remember that. Because if one thing happens to us, sometimes some people just pull away from God all of a sudden. But we need to ask ourselves, what if God pulls away from us when we do one bad thing or when we go someplace that we shouldn't go or if we say something that we know better than saying? What if God pulls his hand away from us? He can pull your air. He can pull your walk. He can pull your talk. He can pull you out of this earth. We need to remember that. What will happen if God pulls away from us when we don't do what we know we ought to do? Because one thing we need to remember, trouble don't last always. All of us are going to have trials and tribulations. But you should continue. That's the time you need to pull more toward God. Instead of pulling away from him, draw closer to him. Because you're not going to have any help if you're out there by yourself. Your help is when you're strong and when you continue to do what you're supposed to do in Christ. Because when you think you're on your last, God will give you that strength to help carry you on through the next milestone. And we shouldn't be surprised when God answers our prayer. We're Christians. We are God's people. God should answer our prayers, but we need to do what we need to do as far as serving him and doing all we can for him. So while we're waiting for God to answer our prayers, do all we can do. Don't just say, I'm praying for my family to get in church. Do some things to help that. Send them a tract. Send them some Bible scripture. Invite them to church. Do whatever. Whatever your situation is, do all what we can do while you're waiting on God to answer. Because God is going to answer your prayer one way or the other. It's either yes, no, or maybe, but he will answer your prayer. But it's in his time and not ours. That's all I want to comment on.
Wow, that was very powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us, Sister Waring. Again, so sound like we should. There's something that we have to do, too. We can't just pray and ask God to do something for us. So what you're telling me is I just can't sit here in this chair at my desk every day and say, pray for me to get employment, or pray for me to get the money for my utility bill, or pray for me to get money for my tires, or, you know, or pray for myself. So it sounded like what I'm hearing is I need to do something as well. I need to do something to make a difference as well. So it sounds like that not only should I pray, but I should work a little bit with it as well. Or should I expect for God to do it all? And I just sit back with my arms folded and complain about it until he does it. So, again, I'm asking if there's anyone on the line tonight who would like to share with us, please dial the number 1. Don't be fearful, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Nobody can see you, your home and your cars, wherever you may be at this time. A lot of people won't know your voice. I know a lot of people's voice because I talk to everybody. But we really want to help out the ones that are on the line. Even the ones, you know, I hear people, and I said this on Sunday, people say, well, when you've been in the body of Christ for so many years, and I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it really has to do with your level of faith. What are you doing? Are you doing spiritual exercises every day? Or are you only going to church and praying on Mother's Day or on Easter or, you know, the certain holidays that they label? What are you doing from day to day that can truly make a difference? Okay. I saw someone had dialed the number 1, but I don't see it lit up anymore, so they may have pressed it again by mistake. But again, dial the number 1 on your phone and share a comment with us. And let us know your take about prayer. Let us know, should we only pray in times of necessity? Should we pray and not do anything at all? 6087, share your question or your comment with us, please.
Hey, I was commenting about the kids with sickle cells and how the procedures and just going through life with the sickle cell. I have 2 boys. This year in February, one of my kids got extremely sick with his sickle cell. All I knew was to pray. That's all I had was prayer and family and friends encouraging me to pray. So he was well enough to pray. I told him, ask God to heal you. Ask God to heal you or however he sees fit, but you pray and you talk to God. And that's how we made it through. And I get the point where I want to give up and stuff, but every time I want to give up, God shows me a way that he's still there no matter what. He's still there. So just keep praying and he's going to answer your prayers.
Wow. Thank you so much for that, and we'll definitely keep you and your sons in prayer as they deal with sickle cell disease. I just got another question. It says, what if you feel like you're doing things right or not doing anything wrong, and you don't go to church because you're not living your life right? What should you do from that point? What should you do about prayer? Are you worthy to pray to God? What should you do that can lift your spirits up, that can get you to the point where you want to go to worship service? What is going on in your life? Are the people around you just missing you in action and not reaching out to you to see what is going on and why haven't they not seen you in service? Should you do that when you're missing your sisters in Christ, and should you just assume that they're okay or they're going through something? Should we just ignore them? Should we just pray for them and leave it at that? What about us as Christians? When we see someone, if I go to church service and I see someone that's
is faithfully there all the time or not there, but there are members there, and they're not there. Should I just say, well, I don't know if anything is wrong or not. I'm going to pray for them and keep it moving and consistently, or should I reach out to them? Should I pray about them? Or should I say, well, they'll be okay and not pray about it? But what should we do? What should we do if we feel like we're not doing anything wrong? But we said God still not, doesn't seem to answer our prayers. There's one thing after another that just keeps coming our way. Do we have any suggestions, any comments on that question at all? If so, please dial the number 1 on your phone at this time. And when I call the last 4 digits of your number, please share your comment with us. 1340. State your question or your comment, please.
I was on mute, sorry. I had a situation recently where, similar to the question that you're asking, I have not been worshiping where my membership is since August of last year. I've been worshiping with another congregation. And I got a message from one of the sisters, I think it was last week, that said that I hurt her because I've been missing. And I didn't want to respond to her message. I wanted to talk to her. So I sent her. I didn't have her phone number. But she can't, one of them people that change their numbers often. So I sent her a message on Facebook asking her to call me and gave her my number. Well, she called. And her comment to me was the reason she hadn't called me is because I should not have expected a phone call because I'm one of those strong sisters. But I kept my cool, and I told her, I said, you know, even the strong needs encouragement sometimes. Because the way that I felt, even though I'm worshiping somewhere else, I'm still worshiping, I'm still in the Lord's body, nobody cared that I was gone. I got a phone call from one person from that congregation, and it's been almost a year. And I just got a phone call from her upon my request to call me. And, you know, and I thought about that. I didn't let it discourage me, but I'm just saying, wow, you know, I've been there for several years supporting the congregation financially. And what prompted the message is I went by there Sunday before last to take a contribution because I got my income tax and I figured, you know, I'm going to spread the blessing. Got an income tax check return, and I spread the blessing, and I, you know, I took a large contribution by there to help them support the whatever the works is that they're trying to do right now. And another situation, I know a sister in Atlanta, she frequents this Wind Down Wednesday in Centennial Park, and she posted on Facebook that she was at Wind Down Wednesday, and I asked her if she was going to wind down the Bible study. And another sister told her that she was MIA for quite some time now, and don't let a ride be an excuse because there's at least 2 cars at her home that can pick her up because this particular sister does not drive. And I encouraged her. I said, you know, you ought to take Sister So-and-so up on her offer. And then the response that, I don't know if it was addressed to me or the other sister, don't judge me, just pray for me. Which I do that for that particular sister all the time anyway. But I'm like, I think that was that guilt coming out of her, that she knows she has not been in worship. I don't know because I don't live there. But the sister noticed that she had been missing and offered her a ride. And that's what I was suggesting to her, take up that offer on that ride because you complain about having to catch this bus or that bus to get to worship. Now you have a way to get there. So, yes, we do need to reach out to our members, even if they are a strong member. If you know somebody's there every Sunday and you don't see them, call them. Find out. Say, is everything okay? You know, don't call to just question, why haven't you been in church, you know, but call and say, you know, I'm concerned. I've missed you. Are you okay? Do you need anything? But that's what we should do. Contact our brothers and sisters. If we say we love them, show them that we love them.
Okay. Well, I have one last question here. I don't mean to cut you off, but we're really winding up for time, and I really want to get this question out there, and I really want some people to answer this. I got another question from another sister that says what they mean by not living right is because they feel they have a drinking problem. And why should they go to church knowing that when they get home, they're going to have a drink? So, again, if there's someone on the line who would like to be the one to offer some words of encouragement about that question, please, by all means, dial the number one on your phone. Until then, we're at 4 minutes. I'm going to unmute one more sister, but I really would like someone to come in and make a comment on that. 5397, state your question or your comment, please.
I would like to say don't give up on God because he won't give up on you. Like what Sister Smith said earlier and also what Sister Warren, what she was tying into, you got to put in the work. You can't just sit around and ask God for this after you done, like, for example, say you messed up, you know, some money, like your utility money or some type of bill, and you keep messing up your money and you keep asking God to help you do that. You have to put in some work. You have to make some changes for yourself in order for God to help you. But just don't give up. Do not give up on God because he won't give up on you.
Wow, that is awesome. You got to do your part. That was one of the things that I used to do, pray and do this, but wasn't doing right, wasn't budgeting right, wasn't organized, but still praying and still messing up. So, again, that is a good answer. 0068, let's see here. Let me find you and unmute you. State your comment, please.
Yeah, it's just to piggyback on the last caller. It's true. Everyone must do their part. Everybody that must not know what you're doing, but as long as you know what you're doing, God will make sure that you're taken care of. You can pray, ask others for prayer, and in the midst of it, you have to keep pressing on.
So whether you're drinking or not, when you go to church and when you get home, you still should go. You should not pull away from the body of Christ because of what you're doing. And I want to, we're really pressed for the end of time. I want to piggyback on that also. If we stop going to church because we're sinning, nobody would go to church because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all have our hang-ups. And like I say all the time on the morning prayer call, a lot of times, people look at what people are doing. Oh, he's drinking, she's drinking. Oh, she's hanging out in the street, she's hanging out at the club. Oh, they're doing drugs. Oh, we look at that stuff because we, for some reason, over the generations, we think that those are big sins. But we're complaining, we're murmuring, we're talking about people. We're doing things that is a sin as well against the word of God. So what I say is no matter what, I say that church is the sick hospital for me, and spiritually, there's a sickness there. There's things that I'm going to be healed for. So even at the time when I was a young adult and I was still going out to clubs, I still went to church on Sunday mornings, and I just said this to someone today. They was talking about someone, and I said, listen, even though they're doing that, I still want to see them in church because eventually something they're going to hear is going to prick their heart. And until we change our heart, I change our minds about the things that we're doing, we're going to continue to do them, even when we go down in baptism and come back up. So whatever you're doing, how you're doing, no matter what you're doing, you're not here to please man, only God. Keep going to church. Trust me, from my own experience, you're going to hear something, a message somewhere that's going to touch your heart and have you to change the things that you are doing against the word of God. I'm going to have an end at this time. This has been an awesome program, a lot of dialoguing, and I really appreciate everybody being on the call tonight. If you have any comments afterwards, you can hit me up on social media, send me a text message or an email. But I really appreciate you being here tonight, and have a wonderful evening.
This episode of Wondrous Women has been brought to you by the Solomon Society. If this episode has blessed you, why not bless your friends? Send them this online address, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Grace View, so that they can hear what you have just heard. And to ensure the continuation of this ministry, please make a tax-deductible donation to the Solomon Society. You may text your donation to 404-620-2455, or donations may be given online at www.solomonsociety.xyz. Thanks for listening, and may the wisdom of God be forever in you.